Blog Talk Radio.
Money
He's written books, children's books, but his life's mission is to make sure that folks do good things with their money, not just in the short, but also the long term. So when thinking about this, I said, who better to get together than these three cats and ourselves to come out and share some information with you all? Then it just so happens I ran across a story yesterday that Snoop has been reported to say that he doesn't have a will, and that just put the focus of today even clearer, as you know what I'm saying, and more important, not really more important because he said it, but even better, trying to think of how to word this, it put the focus of today in better perspective, if you will. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of young folks, be it he agrees with it or not, are following his lead. And why would they do anything that he's not doing or better than he if they do that he has insight to things that they don't know? So it was like, yo, this is on point. This is timely. Let's make it happen. And though I gave some misinformation to James, he was gracious enough to make sure that I wasn't totally embarrassed and still made it safe. So that's my day of the week was right. My damn date was horrible. So it is what it is. All right. So I want to see, and I talked last night, and he was like, yo, I just had a seminar with some older people, some seniors, and they were not sure about life insurance and whatnot. And, you know, my thing has always been life insurance was something that I saw my grandparents really into. I remember the book, the guy coming around every week, getting his $32 or whatever. And, you know, every week he filled out the payment in the book. We got the receipt, and it's like, boom. Like, every Saturday you knew the insurance man was coming. It was like the damn milkman or the diaper man. Some of you all are too young to remember the diaper man, but the diaper man used to come around in the truck and drop the diapers off on the block, but that's neither here nor there. But the insurance man came over every day on Saturday. It was like the cartoons. You knew Saturday morning meant cartoons, wrestling, and the insurance man. So, Keith, you're the insurance man now. Young people, older people, any damn body, do they need insurance other than what through their job?
Yes. First off, before I start, let me give a disclaimer. I'm currently on the road driving to Eastern Shore, Maryland to help a family. So I realize I'm going in and out, so I just want to put that out there. It's storming. If I get cut off, I will call back and put that out there. Insurance is very important for everybody, young and old. For the younger crowd, we have different types of insurance. We have term. We have whole life. Me, personally, I lean more towards a permanent coverage because it's exactly what it says. It's permanent coverage for the rest of your life. However, for those, which include the younger people, term may be a good fit because of the expenses. Term's a little bit cheaper, but it only covers you for that term, 10, 20, 30 years. My son, who is now 24, has what you call a hybrid policy. Through his father, of course. he has a term policy to cover his mortgage if something were to happen, God forbid, and he has a permanent coverage policy included in that. A, to build up a little cash value. B, if something were to happen, God forbid, because insurance is all about risk. It's a fight against the risk of death, which is pretty much the inevitable, unless the Lord comes back first. But that's the interpretation of insurance, fight that risk. Term, like I said, it covers you for a certain term, period of time. It's good coverage, solid coverage, but once that term is up, you'll find yourself reapplying and usually looking for a more permanent policy. Yes, it's important because it covers and fights against that risk. If something were to happen, and I've heard a lot of complaints, it doesn't cover you for this, it doesn't cover you for that. That's a whole other show. The purpose of the insurance is to take care of your risk, to fight against risk. Younger individuals and families who need protection against the loss of income or from their services have a very, very, very strong need for it. That's one of my passions, talk to our younger generation and let them know. Get it while you're young. Get it locked in. Get it solid. And you're set. Don't worry about it anymore. It is a bill. It is an expense. But it's an important bill, and it's a stock, just like bonds, just like Will. Hello?
Yeah, I mean,
I hear you.
I thought you did a
okay.
I thought you did a dramatic pause. I mean, you were going, so I just let you go.
No, brother, no dramatic. I'm trying to keep it clean and simple. Also,
okay.
I know
no,
I got Mr. Short and Mr. Merritt on here, and I want to hear them too. I'm excited.
Okay. Hey, that worked. Okay, but you said a couple of things. You said get it while you're young, lock it in, blah, 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 blah. You talked about a hybrid policy, the mixture of firm and hold. Why is that a good thing?
That is a good thing, and I say that for simple fact that the term policy gives you a whole bunch of insurance. I'm putting this in normal folk term. It's Saturday. I don't have to be as business as I want to be. It's a whole lot of insurance for a little bit of money. But again, on the negative side, it only covers you for a certain period of time. Now, the thought process behind this is that at the end of that term, for young people, 30 years. I never advise a young person to get anything less than 30 years unless their mortgage is a little bit less, which is usually the biggest bill you have. That is my reason for just the term policy. Cover that mortgage against the inevitability of something happening to you in life. Death is the main thing. So that's why I advise the term policy. Cover that big bill. If something were to happen to you, what is the loved one, the spouse going to do for the kids? You need time to get yourself together. So you got this big chunk of money coming at you. Take care of business, maybe pay off some, if not all, of the mortgage, and you still can keep the quality of life that you had while that other part was there. The whole life side comes on as you get older, that 30 years, 20 years, or whatever, that mortgage is taken care of. You need to take care of the file expenses. And again, some people even think, well, hey, I want a big policy to cover me the rest of my life. I'm fine with that because when you do pass away, and again, I say when, your family is set. They have a big chunk of money sitting there waiting for them. And money isn't everything. But it sure makes life a whole lot easier in your past or in your going to the next phase of life or after.
All right, hold
I'm
that
sorry,
thought.
Man, I got
hold
a question.
That.
Did I answer that question?
Yes, you did, but hold that thought. Hold that thought. James, I want you to jump in. So at this point, we're talking about establishing a footing for not just you, but also your family once you expire. But how do we get to that point? How do we wisely build wealth, not just for ourselves now, but also for our families to reverb, not just for that immediate generation, but maybe one or two additional down the line?
So, as the money coach for kids, you know, my focus is really just parents preparing their kids for building money, building wealth for the rest of their lives. And the best first step any family can take is really just break the taboo and talk about money. That's the first thing a lot of families don't do. We wait till the last minute until we're very emotional to make a lot of these decisions. And we don't make it a lifelong process to really just talk about all the aspects of money with our children. And even with our spouses in a lot of cases that, you know, things that we need to talk about from insurance to wills to trust funds to just even basic savings accounts. You know, so many people have secret savings accounts that other people in their family don't know about. And I'm speaking of this not only from because I'm the money coach for kids, but also just in personal experience. When I got married about 4 years ago, and I've since had two children. My wife already had a daughter. And we had a discussion about life insurance because as a single person, I was like, I don't need life insurance. You know, I don't have to replace income at all. So it was a big issue for me. It was a little taboo subject for me. And my wife was like, but look, now we have a family. And we rely on your income, so you need to get life insurance. And I had to address my own mentality, which a lot of people don't like to do. They don't want to think about, as the brother said, when you die. You know, it's coming. It's going to come whether you want it or not. How are you going to leave your family when you're gone? You know, do you want to leave them ridden with bills? Do you want all of your, you know, if you die intestate, do you want your assets to be at the beck and call of the state? You know, every state has their own laws regarding that. So If you have, like myself, my wife and I have a real estate portfolio. We have stock and bond portfolios. You know, we have savings, assets in that regard. Do I just want to leave that up to the state to come in and tax it as they feel and, you know, let my family have to fight for it, as you talked about with Prince and Snoop? You know, those are things that you just have to talk about with your family from the beginning, all the time, so that it's not a surprise and it's not a casual discussion where people say, oh, well, I'm dead, I don't care about it, I don't have to worry about it. You know, it has to be a serious discussion that's always considered. And, you know, if you've been on the blogs and you've seen social media, how people are going in on Prince and going in on Snoop about, you know, how can you have $500 million in assets and you're not planning for it? You know, if you got $1,000 in assets and you're not planning for it, it's no different. You know, if it does, you don't have to be a multimillionaire to consider taking care of the assets you have and putting them in place where you want them to go when you pass. And that's really something I always talk about with family.
Okay, now slow down on that, because this is where Donnie comes in. Good morning, sir.
How art thou, my brother?
Hey, brother, I'm trying to do well. Thank you very much. So dig it. All right, you do Legal Shield, too. And the beauty of Legal Shield, I'm going to let you explain all of it. But honestly, let's say I come to you and say, Don, I'm 41 years old, which I am. I don't have a will. I don't have a living will. What do you think about that? Should I get one? How can you help me do that?
Well, at that point, so succinctly illustrated by the gentleman earlier, it's 10 out of 10 chances you're going to die. We're all going to pass out of here at one point or another. And so there's no doubt about that. And when you think about the statistics that say that 60 to 70% of Americans do not have a will, and 90% of black people don't have a will, and then we wonder, where does our wealth go? Well, it just disappears through probate and various other issues, avenues rather, if we don't have a will. So you're never too young or never too old to have a will. It's extremely important because, you know, it's also interesting the gentleman mentioned about Prince, and then also with Snoop Dogg. Now, Snoop Dogg, with a lot of profanity, says, well, I don't need a will. Why should I do it? I'm going to be dead anyway, you know. Well, that would make me wonder, well, what is your commitment to your family, my brother? That's the thing. And then what about the generations going to flow behind you? That's part of it, too. You know, he's quite wealthy now. Prince was quite wealthy. Michael Jackson. All of us are going to be wealthy at one point or another. And we also need to understand that $100 bill has a life of its own. It's not just a piece of paper. It's not just a document. It has a life. It's a living, breathing piece of paper. And it can do many things. If you don't have a will, the cost is much higher to your family, to your estate, than it would be if you did have a will. So you have different kinds of wills. You have living wills, as you mentioned. You have the final will, the last will and testament, everything else. And all of those play a role in your financial planning. You know, with deference to the two gentlemen who were on earlier, and I had flashbacks because at one time I was a life insurance agent. I was a Series 6 mutual fund license person. I was actually studying to become a chartered financial consultant. And I can tell you now, they are absolutely correct. The investment portfolio with the umbrella of protection through life insurance is critical. Critical. Since your show is talking about generation wealth and maintaining that, it's absolutely critical. So whether you're 41 like yourself or 65 like me, I still need a will because I have family. I need to make sure that they're squared away when I pass away. So, yeah, it's just a matter of you may need to have two types of wills, both living and final, but you still need a will.
Now, okay, so I come to you and I say, I want a will. First
mm-hmm.
thing I need to is sign up for your service, correct?
That is correct. Now, we need to also put that in perspective. You know,
okay.
Legal Shield, of course, has been around for 43 years, so it's not something that just came down the pike. In fact, Legal Shield created and pioneered the concept of this legal membership plan in America. It's quite common in Europe, where 80% of the population has a legal plan. And it's just incredible that we are so far behind the times. We only have 2% of Americans. who have such a thing, and Canadians as well. If you sign up for a plan, let's just say you're a single person, okay? I mean, think about this. For $17.95, you get a lot of stuff. $17.95 per month, you get a lot of
things.
How much
is that again?
Including $17.95 a month. Now, and you think about all the other just-in-case things that you have to have, like auto insurance, health insurance, life insurance, SIPC insurance, in deference to my brother. All those things are just in case something happens. But all of those things were created by and finalized by attorneys. Wouldn't it be great to know that if you had, for $17.95, access to an attorney who can interpret all that stuff and make sure that they all operate the way they're supposed to? Now, one of the most inherent things that we have in our – one of the more immediate things that we talk about with Legal Shield is getting your will done, okay? We understand why it needs to be done. At least if we didn't, we're going to impress upon you. My team, Olympus team, we talk about this all the time. The important consideration with Legal Shield is that with Legal Shield, you get your will done for free. That saves you $1,000 right there. In the District of Columbia, you know, you're talking about attorneys putting that stuff together, or $200, $300 an hour attorneys, and they go through all the questionnaires and everything they need to put in that will. It's $1,000. In fact, we have a will questionnaire that my wife found out. If you answered every question in the will questionnaire and they process it at retail, it would be a $2,000 will. But you get it done for free, and it's reviewed annually for free. So you want to make sure that everything that needs to be covered is covered, whether you think you have a lot or not. You will be able to get that will done for free, and you don't have to worry about what's going to happen to your family. Because, again, once you're dead, you're not worried about anything, just about the final judgment. But up until that time, you truly do need to be concerned. What happens if I do die? When I die? I don't know when, but what happens when I die? What's going to happen with my wife and my kids and maybe my grandkids? Because the Bible says you need to save for two generations beyond you. Okay, so that's something that we're required to do if you're of the faith. So what are you doing to make sure that happens, you see? But getting the will done for free, Lee, is the critical thing for me.
Hold that point. I want to go back to Keith. Keith, so say you don't die, right? Now, we're all going to die, but I'm talking about immediately. You don't die, right? So you have built into your plan, the hybrid plan, you also have long-term.
Yes, long-term and short-term care. Now, that's a separate policy. It's not necessarily built into your life insurance. If you want to put that into your portfolio, that is another policy.
Okay. But tell them how you did mine, because you did mine where it's, like, included in the whole with the all of them.
Well, yeah, as your agent, I put them all together combined into one. Yes, that was a rider that you had on yours, and that you can add on to the, like you said, and have long-term and short-term disability, meaning if something were to happen to you in the workplace and you weren't able to work and each is different. I think we have, I'm not putting your business out there, certain claims you have 6 weeks, certain you have 90 days, however you want to do it. But what that does is just protect you. That puts that income back into your pocket. Now, it doesn't put 100% of the income back, because if that were the case, he would be going on short-term and long-term disability forever. But what that does is put 60 to 70% back into your pocket, where you're not so financially devastated when something does happen.
Okay. All right. Hold on.
I'm driving, so did I answer your question?
Yes, without a doubt. Go ahead, cousin.
No, so it's this cuz, gentlemen. Again, welcome to the show, and I appreciate all the information that you all are giving. But for the unconscious, you know, average American, all the numbers that were spilling out and all the information that was spilling out can be confusing. So I want to ask, how simple is it for a young American to actually start the process, whether it be Legal Shield or through, you know, just getting the traditional insurance? How easy is it for it to start, and what would be your advice as far as the motivation to continue it? Because a lot of people, they'll start the policies, and then they'll find out that this $17 and some odd cents a month is blowing their budget for some reason. and they stop it and they don't maintain
well,
it. So what would be your advice and your motivation? Go ahead.
If I can go first on this, gentlemen, because I'm going to let you to take the show. Y'all been taking the show. No, but the motivation in keeping that is strictly the love for your family. It's the unselfish act. Wills, life insurance, taking care of your business. It is for you as well. But the love that you have for your loved ones that you leave behind, God forbid something happens, when something happens, that should be your motivation. And I think for each of us, when we sit down with a client, I know we sit down. It's almost like a quick education process. You educate your client on what they're getting, the purpose of it, the benefits of it, but the strong feeling of why wills are important, why life insurance is important, why investments have been important. And it doesn't take a lot. 1791 is what you said for the one act, and then insurance can come back and be. I'm sorry.
I was correcting your math, but it's okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but it's very reasonable. I had a client I had to tell one day. They said, "Well, I can't afford this," and I said, "Well, when's the last time you went to dinner and a movie with your wife?" And he said, "Well, it was a Saturday." He says, "Matter of fact, last night, Friday night." I said, "If you skip one of those a month, that covers this policy that you're getting." And he thought about it, and I said, "Think about the protection." I said, "Think if you weren't there to go with your wife because of death, what would happen to her?" And that's what I try to drive home to people. It is a protection against their risk of the inevitable. Again, we get car insurance. We get home insurance because the law mandates that. Life insurance, in my opinion, is one of the more important of the two because it's against that risk of what happens to you. What happens to that financial leader in the family or just the person that's bringing 50% to the table? That could be devastating.
And if I also may add what he's saying there, Lee, if I can add in what they're saying, for the caller, I mean, you need all three of us. To be very honest with you, you need all three of us. And if need be, Lee can put you in touch with all three of us because in all of our lives, we can make the case, a very strong reasoning case, that you need what we have. So you need life insurance. You need the investor. People with money, people who are millionaires in legal fields, invest their money, so they need something like that. We also need to protect our lives. You know, it's difficult to self-insure yourself. And, of course, Legal Shield is there for a number of other reasons. It's more than just the will. But it's certainly, if you want to get started, you know, just get with Lee and have him contact any of us, all three of us. And we'll be more than happy to sit down and, as the gentleman just said, educate you on why you need to keep this. And in many cases, it's going to be more expensive not to have it than to have it. If $1,795 blows your budget, then you definitely be invested. You need him. I'm telling you right now.
This is where Jay comes into play. So, Jay, light him up. How do you save $17.95? How
well,
do you save that?
You can save money many ways. And for everyone out there that's trying to save money or trying to put money aside for something important, what I always tell all families is, it's all about your priorities. You know, if you can spend $20 on going out to a movie or, you know, once a week or several times a week you're going to lunch, you can take money from whatever you're using or whatever you're doing to prioritize and put the money where you need it to go, whether that be with life insurance, health insurance, investing. It's all about prioritizing your pie. Do you want to spend all your pie or do you want to save certain slices for your future, for your family? These brothers are offering some great services as well. But a lot of these things, like, for example, for a will, you can really do on your own. You could get them notarized, and in a very simple way, you can write down what you want your family to have, what you want to do with your basic assets. You could take it to your register of wills for a few dollars, and they can hold it on file for you. Give copies, seal copies to people who are going to be your representatives. And if you don't have any money to do anything else, you could write a simple will, get it notarized, and let that be your living will for your assets. If you have limited assets, if you only have a few bank accounts or anything like that, that's a very quick way to ensure that what you have some say over it. Once you save that money, you can go to these brothers and get more substantial plans, get more intricate plans to really discuss your portfolio building and your insurance policies and things like that. But to get started, you can do something pretty simple and less expensive.
for people until they can save up that monthly amount or get it in order and get their budget straight. And then they can go and get these brothers to help them organize their budgets and their investments and even to another level. You know, everything, it steps to it. You know, you have to start somewhere. So for all the people that are listening.
I need you to hold that word.
Uh-huh.
I need you to hold that word, budget. Hold on one second.
Okay.
Let's invite other folks because there's other folks here and they haven't said anything. I want to make sure they have an opportunity to ask questions if they so choose. 818-691-7348. Again, 818-691-7348. I'll say it again slow because it's radio. 818-691-7348. If you have a question or comment, dial in, hit the number one. It shows me that you want to talk, and then we can get you in. Okay, so the B word, budget. Now, how do we get folks to budget? Because these things, none of these things can really happen. Gentlemen, we can all agree, none of these things will really happen if we don't see the need for them, nor if we don't put the work in to have that premium money for your insurance, the $17.95 for your legal shield. And Donnie, I want to get back to you with that because I want you to explain to folks how that not only takes care of you, but it truly does take care of the rest of your family and
absolutely
how it covers the rest of your family. You know, so I do want mm-hmm. you to get to that. And then, but I'm sorry, nor do we have those several accounts because, you know, I'm a little jealous when you say several bank accounts. You know, my ass only got two. I'm trying to figure out what you know. You know what I'm saying? Like, I got two. You keep throwing this several word around all willy-nilly. I need to get on your level, Jay, so we need to talk on the sidebar to this. But hold that because we do have a caller that has indicated that he or she wants something to say. We're gonna go live with them. Good morning, Steele. You're live on Radio Establish to Address Life. You have a question or comment for the panel?
Yes, is this caller? Am I on?
Yes, you are.
Yes, you're on, man.
Okay, how you doing? My name is Todd Alexander. And I heard you guys talking about some different things with money and finances and budgets. And I happen to be a Legal Shield associate myself as well. And I heard you guys talking about educating folks about finances. And as much as I would like people to buy the service that I sell, it's extremely important, as you said, to educate people on their finances as a whole and actually mentor people, if you will, to change their mindset about finances and educate them so that they're not just making a choice that they feel like somebody pressured them into, but they make an informed decision. And they know why it is that they're making that decision. So as easy as it would be for somebody to say, hey, I want you to buy this service, that service, education, relationships, and mentoring and things of that nature are extremely important as well. And that's one of the things I try to do when I try to sell a service. I try to educate as well. It's very important. It's not all about just the numbers, but I feel a connection to people, and I think it's important to try to help people with their finances as a whole rather than just only selling a product just for status quo sake, if you will.
Hey,
you know, Sean, that's a good point, and that's what I was asking earlier because, you know, a lot of times, you know, I've been one of those people back in the day where, you know, I hear things like Legal Shield. There's some other agencies out there that's like that. And you get the phone calls, and you know, you get the people talking to you for like an hour about, you know, everything you need to do, and you do it again, not really understanding the dedication and the extreme importance of it. And it lasts for a month or two, and then you let your stuff expire. You don't pay it. You change the bank account information, or you don't put the money in the account, and they're calling you to collect the money, and, you know, it doesn't happen. Because, again, I think that a lot of us really don't understand the mindset that you have to have. Someone earlier in the conversation mentioned about the conversation being taboo in the household, and that's very true. You know, I'm married, and I have six kids, and that's the last thing that we want to talk about most of the time is money. But, you know, Levon, you can attest to this, man. You know, we went through this when our grandmother passed away and how her not having a will, even though she didn't have many assets, the major asset that she had was her home, and we lost
her. Amen.
we lost our home, you know, due to some craziness, you know what I'm saying? And we felt
family shenanigans. Call a spade a spade. Negroes was acting like Negroes.
Yes, I'm straight up, and for me, I think one of the biggest things that all these services provide, outside of the generational wealth, is when that time comes, saving your family from themselves. You know, because you know your family can be torn apart quickly overnight over you not having a will, over you not having your estate or your affairs in order when you do pass away. And it's the saddest thing for me to see families torn apart because of, you know, the estate not being taken care of, you know, the house being up and who's going to get the house and who's going to get the necklace and who's going to get the bracelet. You know, your will can cover everything down to the damn socks that you had on your feet when you passed away and what's going to happen to those. You know, it's really important for people to really understand, you know, how important these things are, but help them at the same time understand that, you know, you understand why talking about money is taboo. But, you know, when you go to the investment side, that's why it's a good thing to have all three of you gentlemen on this panel, because it starts every part of everything that you all are talking about is day to day. It should be part of your day to day life. You know, everybody should get, even my daughter, she's 18 years old, she's looking at getting into investing. We're having these conversations a lot more than ever because of everything that's going on in our society, going on in our economy, and you have to be conscious about it, or you will find yourself at the table fussing about the socks that grandma wore on her feet when she died.
And one thing that's really important is that we have to understand, one of the brothers mentioned earlier, how much wealth we lose when, you know, families pass away, just in real estate alone.
Yeah.
Real estate alone, you know, your parents own a house and they don't necessarily say who is going to, and you're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars in real estate possibly that is just unplanned for. And so many companies, I always think about Sylvia's up in Harlem, which has been around for the Soul Food restaurant. It's an icon now. It's been around for decades as well. They started their business with a loan on real estate property. On the house. They had a family house that was left to her. She took a loan out on the house and started her business that has made millions since then. So if we don't plan for what we're going to do with our money, our real estate, our basic things, that was just one property. Her parents weren't big investors, but they owned their house. That's what we need to think about for our children. How many lives could be launched with the equity in a house that your kids could start their business or start their families or never have jobs because they were wise with the equity in a home that was left to them after their parents passed away. So, you know, it's more, in a lot of cases, it's more than, you know, like sofa and jewelry around the house and clothes. People don't realize the assets and the potential wealth that can come from not planning or from potentially planning better.
Well, you know, it's interesting he said that because I think it points to a couple of other things. And this is right in your wheelhouse, man. You know, when you're talking about the mindset of black people over the generations, you know, we've been raised to be employed by other people. We've always been employed to think and do for other people rather than ourselves. It takes discipline to be able to plan, discipline to budget, discipline to consider the things that could happen down the road. And one of the things that the brothers are talking about is, again, the what if. You know, you save the money through investing in case of. You have insurance in the case of. Legal shows there for many things in the case of these eventualities. Yet still, people
right.
don't think ahead, and they think more immediately with the bling-bling and then what I can show for what I can do and everything else, rather than thinking ahead. The real estate thing is important. It's extremely important because you may have bought a house for $5,000 or grandma bought it for $5,000. If you're in the district on 16th Street, that's a $700,000 piece of property now. I mean, really. So now what are you looking at with something like this? What can be done with that kind of wealth when grandma dies? You know, and then what does grandma want to have done with the property, with the wealth? Call it what it is. It's the wealth within that property. Do we lose it through probate? Do we lose it through foolishness and greed? Or do we plan for it? Grandma already took the time to do all these things. And
right.
I'm sure she tried to teach us the right way to think. You see, we need to carry it through. And look, if you got people who are not on the same page as grandma, then they don't get, in my mind, they don't get considered for what's going to happen later on.
Right.
You know,
and
you deal with the heads of those families. The brother says he has 6 children, okay? Those are going to be 6 families one day. And through his efforts, he's going to make sure that they have the right mindset and thinking, and then he's going to instill the discipline. Now, look, now, before you make that decision, and since he said he's a legal shield rep, he's going to tell you, call your attorney first before you call anybody else, before you sign anything else. And a lot of times, again, the immediacy that people carry with them is our greatest downfall.
Right, and you said something that is excellent, which was grandma did the hard part. She did
Amen.
The work. She suffered and struggled to buy the first piece in a lot of families, the first piece of property a family might have. She did the hard work. Now it's up to us to get the information to take it a step further, not to leave it where our parents or ancestors left it for us, but to take it a step further for our children. And it doesn't have to be huge steps, but planning, wills, talking to these brothers as far as planning, insurances, that's the next step that we always have to think about once we get this blessing in the first place.
You know, speaking of the lesson, I had an opportunity through my church to go through Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University. And when the one gentleman asked, well, how do you get started doing some of these things? And with Dave Ramsey, it all starts with the budget. And you have to agree upon a budget and pray over it, of course, to make sure it is within God's will. But if you stick to your budget and you have a separate envelope for that $10 per pay that you put away to save, that envelope does not get opened by any means, by any stretch of the imagination. It's for that purpose. So everything, every dollar has a name on it, and it goes to certain places. So if you need to spend money on the insurance product, fine. If you want to invest the money in the investment portfolio, that goes there, and no one else gets it. The money is gone before you even think about it. And then if you want to have some money to blow, you know, a man, I firmly believe a man needs some money in his pocket. If it's coins or whatever, just something he can put his hands in his pocket and feel, all right? But if you want to go out to Half Note and you want to go out with $50, put it in the budget. If it's not in the budget, you don't go out. I mean, that's really what it boils down to. And that's the discipline part we're talking about. You can't steal money from other purposes to do something for a temporary pleasure. Okay, you got permanent money. It's like that commercial y'all seen with the orange money. You can't touch the orange money. That's retirement money. Okay, and then the money that's built into the house, that internal rate of return from the policy and various things, that stuff stays where it's supposed to stay. You don't go there. And, you know, other people may want to squander their money, but not you. Don't fall into the trap.
Right.
We talked about grandma's house, and I don't know about you all, but Cuz already said, you know, we lost our grandmother. A lot of other people have lost their grandmother. And let's not forget about granddad, because grandpa put a lot of work into getting that house, too.
Granddad left it to grandma, didn't he?
Grandma, exactly. You know, I'm a firm believer
yeah, okay.
in making sure that we good men get our props. You know what I'm saying? So let's not forget that grandpappy was out there working like a Hebrew slave to make sure grandmama was straight. And then when she passed on, she left it for us to make sure that we took care of it. But, you know, a lot of us get our hands on a little something and we go totally daggone crazy. But that again, different show. But if we do keep it, you know, should real estate, and I'm coming back to you, James, with this, should real estate be that cornerstone of your portfolio? That first block, like, boom, this is it. Because we know, or we should know, and I know we all know, but everyone should know, that for a lot of folks, and Keith, you actually spoke to me about this, a lot of folks, that insurance policy is that leap forward for a lot of people. It's that first leap forward for a lot of people. When
right.
you know, the unfortunate truth is somebody's going to die. That's That's the unfortunate truth. And when that person passes, whomever they will their funds and their belongings to, that's usually their that family's first leg up into another tax bracket. Another tax bracket if it's done well. You said tax free?
Yeah, tax free. You know, insurance money is tax free when you get it. You know, you don't have to pay taxes on that. That's tax
and on that
tax free wealth that you can definitely leap forward in your life with. Beyond, you know, there's never a hard and fast yes or no answer when it comes to money. You know, every situation is different. For a lot of people, real estate is an easy way. They understand it. It's tangible. People don't understand. I can invest in this. I'll have it. And for, you know, hundreds of years, real estate is always an investment. But for other people, like you say, the life insurance policies, you know, that is a boon of money that's tax-free that, in some cases, people have million-dollar policies or if it's just a $100,000 policy. Some people have very small policies, but it's more than you had. And it's easy to start a new life, start investing, you know, with insurance money. And you don't have to pay taxes on it, which is what everybody likes to avoid in the first place, right?
Well, it's also interesting that there are some permanent life policies which the wealthy have used as a way to park money. They take the money, they dump it in there, large amounts of it up to the face value, and then they can just pull it out tax-free for later on, which is a planning tool that they've figured it out. They've read it, and they've figured out this is what we can do with it. Sylvia did that. They pulled money from the home, but then again, of course, they had to pay it back. If they had a sizable enough a life insurance policy, a whole life policy at that time, because they probably never thought about a term back in those days, but the issue would have been they would have money they could pull out for that purpose. And it's their money, okay? It grew to a relatively small amount of return unless you had one of those universal life back in the 80s or what have you. But the 2, 3, 4% guaranteed rate of return is safe money, and it's in trust, which is why it's tax-free. So, therefore, people need to understand that's a way of parking money for their future use, and then you don't have to worry about going through the government to decide what happens to that money.
Hey, Keith, I want to get you in here. Go ahead, sir. You got something to say?
Well, just real quick, you had mentioned about how an insurance policy or et cetera investment can give you that leg up. Just wanted to give a quick story. I had a guy come to our church, I think it was about 2 years ago. Now, his wife, they were a relatively young couple, got an insurance policy. It was a term policy, but they got it for $500,000, which at the age in your 30s and 40s is relatively cheap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
His wife, unfortunately, came up with something and she passed away. They were in their early 40s. From that, and it was a very tragic situation, he came and testified in front of our church. From that, he took that $500,000 policy, paid their home off, made some very smart investments, and he said through the death of his wife, it gave him and his family a new life, a life mm-hmm. where they didn't have any financial worries. He's now doing financial classes, teaching the importance of insurance, and it was just powerful for me. That was before I even really got deep into the business, but it explained to me the what and an insurance policy or proper investment and having the proper team together can do for you and your family. Turn a tragedy or making lemons and lemonade, to steal a quote from Beyonce.
Mm-hmm.
But I just wanted to share that real quick. Now, that was on a large-scale policy. On a small-scale policy, Lee, you had mentioned about our grandmothers and grandfathers. And as you know, my grandmother here passed here this past February, and thank you for being supportive of my family. She didn't have a lot. She had a home that she was paying for and almost finished. She had small assets, but she had an insurance policy that came into place where in her final days or in her rest and put her away, and the family didn't have to say, well, let's come up with this money to take care of her business. Old people thought like that. Our older generation, they thought like that. They did have the insurance man come around every month and collect that money. We need to get our generation today to think that way and just think if it's a large legacy or a small legacy, to think larger scales and stop thinking about the now, and let's also enjoy the now but think about the future for our families and for ourselves. And I just wanted to share that before I get into these woods. I'm in the country, so I'm probably going to cut out here pretty soon.
Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
Yeah. Well,
you know
I don't want to go through that.
you know his ass got Sprint, right? You know his ass got Sprint right now, unlimited data, damn you.
Hey, so real quick though, an important element to all of this, in my opinion, again, is the investment side. So, say I'm a 27 year old man, you know, I'm making minimum wage. I have $20 liquid cash every 2 weeks. How can I invest? And if so, how can I?
Well, if I can make a suggestion about the investment part, because there, you know, even if you put $5 of that away, you are investing regardless. I mean, if you put it in the bank, you're still investing, and that's important. But the other thing you might want to do is to consider getting into a home-based business. I mean, it doesn't have to be Legal Shield. I mean, you have an opportunity to sell life insurance for people. You have opportunities to get some training to become an investment person. I mean, there's a number of things you can do to be able to earn extra money. So you spend your 9 to 5 making a living, but you spend from 5 to 10 earning your fortune. So there's other things that are out there. And again, it doesn't have to be Legal Shield. It could be any number of things that you can do to take and leverage your time to make more money. So there's one way: increase your money, which also increases your savings or your disposable income. The other thing you might want to consider is, all right, what are your expenses? You know, what are those expenses that can be adjusted or adjusted downward? You know, we have ways of reducing and eliminating debt that can free up more money for you to do more things with, to invest with, for instance. You know, if you are in a position that you had a home-based business, and both these gentlemen can confirm this, I believe, that if you had a home-based business, you can start writing off part of your residence, and then, of course, that will allow you to adjust your W-2 to increase more take-home income, which, of course, you can use to save more money. It doesn't have to be a whole lot of money, but if you get started, that's the first major step. If it's $2, $3, $5, if that starts you off and you maintain the discipline to do that, I believe you will find more things will come your way, more opportunities to invest in larger scale investments, maybe penny stocks. I mean, in fact, this gentleman, the investor gentleman, he can help you with little things like that. To be honest with you, he probably has informational seminars and everything such as that to say these the opportunities which are available for people like you and me, because I was like you at one time. I mean, any number of things like that. So, again, it goes back to the discipline, to planning, and everything else.
And one thing I'm
going to let you get in. I love shows like this because I don't even have to lead in. Go ahead, James. He just let in for you without me saying a word.
Right.
Okay. And one thing he said that I really, really like to impress upon parents and children when I talk to them is that one phrase from my book is, it all adds up, even the smallest amount, when you put money in your savings or your checking account. And a lot of people feel like they just don't, you know, it doesn't matter. $5 here, $10 here, a kid put a dollar in, that it doesn't add up. But it really does. And what it does is it stabilizes your discipline to make saving for your future a priority. And that's what a lot of people have to break through. It's not about how much money you make. It's about what you want to do with your money. And you will decide if you're saving a few dollars out of every check and leaving it alone, that's important to you. That money will add up, and it will help you get to the next step, whether that's starting a home-based business, maybe that's getting a brick-and-mortar business one day, maybe that's collateral for a loan for something. You never know. But the practice is what's important, practicing the saving, practicing putting your money where you want it to go. I read a recent study that said a mere $400 extra a month would really change people's lives. $400.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think about that and put that in perspective, an extra $400 for the majority of Americans increase or almost remove any financial burdens they have. $400 a month. Now, you could do that with a side hustle. You could do that with a part-time business. That doesn't take a lot of time to make an extra $400. What it takes is the change in the mindset and realizing that I can make $400 selling bottled water somewhere extra a month. If you want to make the extra money to invest or to save, you can do it. And if you just put in your mind a number in your head that would help change your life, that would ease your financial burden, you'll come up with some ways to make some good extra side money to improve that minimum wage job you might have to make more money. Or if you have enough money at your job and you just want to do better, focus on, I just want to change what I'm going to do with my money. I want to think about my money differently. And break that concept in your mind in which you, that money is not enough. It's enough money for everybody. All they do is keep printing it. You can put your name on it as long as you focus and budget and think about the discipline of, this is what I want to do with my money in the future.
And economies and savings are important too. You know, if you figure that you are 10 pounds overweight, well, how much would you save by losing 10 pounds if you didn't eat as much? You know, you cut back a little bit on what you, or you just made your own lunch or something such as this. You know, there's a number of things people need to do on, in the main to start achieving small results, and small little results or small victories along the way. That's incredible. Uh-huh. And so there's a number of things that, you know, a good your brother, the life insurance brother, myself, you know, we don't leave you alone. We want to talk with you. We want to stay your friends. We want to counsel you going forward. We want to make sure that you are doing the things necessary. For instance, with Legal Shield, we have Legal Shield perks. Allow you to save a lot of money. And some of the money that you can save on the money you normally spend can afford a larger life insurance policy, maybe a larger investment, or, you know, or something such as this. Or there's a number of different ways to do this, but you have to take somewhat of a global view, rather, with micro lenses. You have to really look at what you're doing now and adjust yourself accordingly. And you need to look at yourself in a way that, you know, what is your why? Why do I need to do this? You know, the dealing with life insurance. Why would you get a $500,000 policy instead of a $250,000 policy? Well, I want my family to have this better lifestyle. Okay, that's your why. Okay? Why do you want to invest $100 per pay instead of $250 a pay, or $25 a pay, I should say? Because I want to have more security life down the road. That's your why, you see? And that's the one thing people don't think far enough ahead, unfortunately. And unfortunately, we as a people don't think that far ahead. You know, we only think to the next election, the next payday, the next date or whatever else. You know, there's a number of things that we do which are counterproductive, and if we ever thought about it or had someone to point it out to them, I guarantee you we would be much better off. And Lee, that's what you do, because you, I mean, in all the years that I've known you, if you do nothing else, and it's not to just to blow smoke up your butt, if you do nothing else, you raise consciousness and you make people think about what they're doing. Okay, it's not a hypocrisy parade or anything like that. You're not the hypocrisy police. But listen, what are you doing? You know, and look what's happening because you do what you do. That's the value of this show and your friendship with me more than anything else, man.
Hey, I appreciate that. But I want to get back to, well, it's going to be a hybrid of you two. So, James, you said, because Cousin has six kids, and they range from,
18 to 1, bro.
She's about two now, right? Two to.
Yeah, she'll be two in December. So from 2 to 18.
There you go. Okay. 2 to 18. When is the time to start impressing upon her? And Donnie, trust me, I'm going to bring you into this, and it's going to make sense. Watch me work.
I'm enjoying this, man. I'm loving it, man.
what's the time to start talking to her about what to do with your money and how to save? Did I lose him?
Yeah, no, you probably lost him in the woods.
Can you hear him now? No. Can you hear him now? Can you hear him now?
James, I got you.
Okay. When
is the time to start talking to the 2-year-old about addressing, about saving money?
Oh, okay. Well, for me, you know, like I said, I'm the money coach for kids, so I talk to preschoolers. I'm in Head Start. Kindergarten classes, I don't think it's ever too early. And one of the things I suggest, you know, my books are called the Spencer's First Series. If you just read to your kids, you know, you're supposed to read to your child in the womb, they say. So as early as you start reading to your children, you can read to your children about money. And you can teach them about money and assets. Give them the vocabulary that a lot of us didn't learn. I'm speaking for myself here. I didn't learn a lot of these terms until I was well into college or even after college. So I got a very, very slow start when it came to learning about money.
But the kids don't have to. You could teach kids about assets, teach them about interest, checking and savings accounts, the importance of money, saving. Those basic vocabulary words for children sets the groundwork for them to have a positive financial future. Tell them about debt, how to avoid it. Tell them about good debt. All of those things that, you know, a lot of us learn the hard way, show them so they don't have to learn the hard way. So it's never too early, in my opinion.
Okay. Hey, you know what? You said something that's important, man, because, you know, I laugh about this a lot when I talk to my mother, and I'm a mentor in the school district here, and I talk to my kids about a lot of things. And one of the things we talked about, you know, I don't know much about investing and stuff like that, but, you know, I talk to the kids about, you know, spending money wisely and stuff like that and not wasting your money necessarily. But one of the things I like to use is my relationship with my grandmother. And, you know, and I tell people all the time that, you know, that the one thing I learned from my grandmother was how to avoid bill collectors. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was my grandmother's money strategy to me. She taught me how to change her voice and fake like she's sick, and, you know,
right.
she taught me how to be stern when they called, and God dang it, if I don't have it, I don't have it. You get it when I get it. She taught me that, and she taught me that well. So, what do I have to pass down to my kids? Do I teach them the same thing, or do I change the environment and, you know, do something different? And that's the scariest thing for, I think, most Americans, especially black folks. The scariest thing is to actually do right. We know what we need to do with our money. We know that we should invest. We want to invest. We know we should get into real estate. But that's, in my personal opinion, that's one of the scariest things because it's not the norm for us. It's important for us to change that and make that the norm. Do right by your money. Are you saying something as simple as having an envelope in a house and putting a few dollars in an envelope? There's nothing wrong with that. But I feel like it's one of the most scariest things for the average American to change the way we've handled money. It's so easy to waste money because it's comfortable. It feels well. It feels good to go to McDonald's and treat my kids at McDonald's 3 days a week because it's put a smile on their face. But I'm thinking, like you said earlier, somebody said earlier today, I'm thinking about today. I'm thinking about putting a smile on my kid's face today instead of thinking about them smiling 20 years on the line where they can wake up and say, oh, man, you know, I got $40,000 in the bank, you know, just like that.
Hey, you know, we're encouraged to spend our money. We're encouraged to spend our money all the time.
Right.
Yeah. So you have to kind of look past those temptations to do so. You know, every time the style changes, oh, you got to be caught up to date. Well, not necessarily. You know, and that's the one thing. If we look inward as opposed to outward, we can make some of those changes. And that's the important thing, that where you come with financial discipline, is to look inward first and not worry about what the latest thing is that you've just got to have.
But, so you jumped in. I wanted to bring you into the conversation. I told you I was going to make it work. So we talked about the children, when's the best time to talk to them about investing the money and how to spend money. Donnie, you
yes,
a hustler,
sir.
I'm a hustler. When's the best time to start talking to kids about being your own boss?
Well,
how do we change that dynamic?
Well, I think to that point, Lee, it needs to start early on by setting the proper example for them. If you can show them that profits are better than wages early on in their life and what it could mean for them, then they can follow your example a lot easier than that. I mean, you stop and think about our brothers in the homeland, in the mother country, man. Nobody works for anybody else. They all got their own position, own jobs in the Caribbean. Everybody's got their own little hustle, you know. And we need to stop thinking about ourselves as employee class and become an entrepreneurial class of people that will go out there and strive and go forward from there. And we need to understand that there's benefits, you know, beyond the psychological. I mean, you know, you have an opportunity to do many more things with your time. And the whole issue is the question of time. You know, people spend 10 hours a day, an hour before and after going to work. You spend 8 hours with people you don't like, people who control your personality and your income and your fortune. You know, do you want time freedom as well as financial freedom? You know, would you like to have a raise every day? I mean, both these gentlemen can go out and make a transaction and get paid the next day or that week. Every day they earn money, okay? it's more, and for some people, it's just easy to show up and get paid money. So they give a half-assed job with their jobs, and the next day, why did I only get a 1% raise? You know, I deserve, no, you don't deserve more than that, because you're so used to working for someone telling you what to do that that's what you're going to get. Now, if you have an entrepreneurial spirit, if you can follow somebody, you know, the insurance man may become a broker one day. He wants to hire other insurance men. You know, I'm always looking for somebody who wants to make a better lifestyle for themselves. The gentleman before said $400. You know what? $400 with Legal Shield, you know, can you imagine? That's your money. That's your, you do that from home in 20-minute blocks. Can you imagine having that opportunity? That's what we talk about. And so, therefore, if you can show a child, for instance, you know, I can come to your game today. I can come to your concert. Why? Because I work from home. No problem. I don't have to ask permission to come off. Therefore, also,
right,
I want to make sure that you understand that, you know, look, my son's 17. He made $500 this winter shoveling sidewalks. So he understands what it means. You're self-employed, son. You're going out there earning your own money. You have to worry about an allowance from me. Go out and earn your own money. I see young men coming around here cutting grasses and various other things, and there's always somebody coming up with a better idea to do something. And, of course, we know the world will beat the path to your door if you have the better mousetrap. Well, then we have the talent to do this sort of stuff. Counsel that independent thinking, independent mindset, the independent of thought and action. Create your own life. Don't worry about what other people say. Because you know what? It goes back to a number of different things where we get beaten down psychologically, Lee, right? Oh, well, you, who you think you are? You talking all white? No, no, I'm talking
man.
The way I need to talk to be successful. You miss me with all that mess. I don't even want to hear it. Okay? Look at you dressing all preppy, man. Why aren't you pants down and by your thighs like the rest of them? Because they're not going to hire me that way. That's why. If I wanted to get a job, I want to be presentable. If I want to sell my product, I got to go in there and be presentable. So a lot of people don't think ahead. And, again, it's that lack of discipline. So it's a question of what do you want? What kind of life do you want to lead? Do you want to stay where you are, or do you want to get further in life? All these two gentlemen here are painting a path for each of you to financially get better off down the road. They spent years and years of training. They had to be licensed to do what they do. You know, with Legal Shield, trust me, we go through 6 hours of training to be able to know what we offer. So we go through the time. We take the time to become better at what we do. And it does come back to self-improvement, that whole personal performance quotient. You've got to be better than you were the day before. It's only in your best interest to do so. Better parent, better father, better earner, whatever it takes. You know, Mother's Day, I mean, come on. Well, that's another stuff. Man. I'm ready. You got me up. I'm walking around, Lee. I'm standing up walking around, man.
You got a man.
No, that's what I do. When I get fired up, I walk around, man. When I do my personal conference calls, I'm walking around, man.
And Lee, one thing I always like to talk to parents about is that brother just mentioned lead by example. But for all parents out there, or if you don't have children, you have children in your life, bring them along on whatever entrepreneurial endeavors you are attacking. Let them see it. Let them do it. Teach them the process of selling. Get them out there. A lot of kids today are not the best communicators. And, you know, you have to communicate to sell whatever you're selling. So get them out there talking to people. Break that mold that they might be shy. Break it early. And have them ask for what they want. If they want to sell something, ask them to sell. Would you like some? How much would you like? Basic things like that go a long way toward teaching children to think for themselves and be entrepreneurs. Because if not, they'll kind of follow the mold that they're taught to follow, which is, you know, go in and get a job and not think about creating your own income in some way. And if you can, anyway, even if it's small steps, give them the tools to start developing their own idea about how to make money. Those are the things that you can do early. And it's no age limit on that. That's a lifelong process, and it's a lifelong process of constantly encouraging them to think for themselves and do for themselves and think about, oh, you can make some money doing that. What do you want to do to earn some money doing that? How can you solve this problem? If you solve this problem, I'll give you some money because you helped me out with this problem. Come along with me, hand out these flyers. I'm doing some promoting. Come help me hand out these flyers. Little things like that. Employ them. And that way, that'll give them the spark to do things for themselves as well.
Gotcha. Gentlemen, we got to close up. We got to wrap. No, go ahead, cousin. I want to let you all know that I'm going to give you the opportunity to give you information because there were some folks that needed everyone's information. We lost Keith, but I'm going to give everyone the opportunity to get their information. And go ahead, cousin. You had a question?
No, I had a comment, man. Again, all these things come full circle, man. You know, and it's funny because just like the gentleman was saying just now as far as taking your children along with you to see different transactions or what you do in your business. You know, I posted something on Facebook. Like, every day for me is take my child to work day. You know, when I mentor, I take my daughter with me. She's one. She'll be, like I said, she'll be two in December. You know, when I do things in the community, you know, we do a lot of giving. One of my things is the art of giving. So we give away a lot of stuff to needy families and stuff like that. I take my son to the food bank with me and help him bag up the packages and help me deliver the packages sometimes. Even when it comes down to me making my bracelets, my son's down there with me. Dad, can I help? I let him hand me beads and stuff like that. So he sees what I'm doing every single day. Outside of my military duties, he's there along with me. Every step of the way, my kids are there, and they see what I'm doing. And, you know, again, so far now to where my 18-year-old, she's caught the bug. And she's like, well, when can we, you know, she wants to start her own T-shirt line and stuff like that. You know, when can we do this? How do we do that? So, you know, she's asking about it. And it's so contagious when you actually adopt that attitude and you pass it on and you involve your family. It is so contagious that it almost spins out of control because it happens so fast. It's
right.
One of the best feelings. It's one of the best feelings in the world to see your family start thinking about, you know, our legacy. What can we do together to create our wealth, to create a better life for ourselves? And then on top of that, how do we pass it on to other people? We're not just going to hold it in our family. How do we make everybody else better? How do we empower everyone else to start their own businesses or join the business that we have? And again, I appreciate all the information that you all shared with us today. I actually learned a lot. I'm looking to add to my hustle, so I'll be coming and reaching out to you all and getting more information because I don't know. I haven't even really scratched the surface on the things we all talked about today. And one of the things that people have to learn is about being humble, understanding that education is a day-to-day process. You should educate yourself until the day you die. And again, I appreciate all the information that you all shared today, man, because it's very valuable, and I appreciate it. I can't say it enough how appreciative I am, man.
Amen. Amen.
James?
Yeah.
James, we're going to start with you. How does it you got something coming up pretty soon. Let the folks know what's
okay.
going on with you, and how can they get in touch with you?
Okay, so first of all, my name is James Merritt. I'm the Money Coach for Kids. My current book is Spencer's First Bank Account. Teaches kids about basic banking. My first book was Spencer's First Dollar. You can buy both books online at spencersfirst.com, spencersfirst.com. And this summer, my family, we are doing Baltimore's first outdoor film series featuring black movies. So the last Friday of June, July, and August, we will be out at the Parks and People Foundation outdoor movie screen. Come out this summer. Look for information. You can visit blackfilmfriday.com to get more information.
Say that one more time, brother.
Blackfilmfriday.com.
Okay. Cool, cool, cool. Thank you, sir. And the elder statesman. Go ahead, Donnie, close. How can we get
did you say Spencer's first book?
Spencersfirst.com is the website.
Okay, I've only had five children. My son, the only son's my last child. His name is Spencer. So
I'm up
on that. Hell yeah,
that's all right.
Okay. So,
Legal Shield, we have conference calls often. I'm having one tonight. It's a nationwide conference call at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. I want to leave the number for everyone to call in to hear. It's going to take just 20 minutes, and we capitalize what Legal Shield is, both as a membership and as an opportunity. That number is 712-432-1212, and the PIN number is 192-635, followed by the pound sign. That's 712-432-1212, and the PIN number is 192-635, pound. And my website is
1228group1228group.com. And Lee, I thank you so much for this opportunity as well. You know, I love you to death, man.
Hey, man, I love you too, brother, without a doubt. And for anybody that needs to get in contact with Keith Simpson, his number is 7303-7387. I'll say that again because it's radio. 757-303-7387. He does the life insurance and other insurance policies. So that's how you can get in touch with Keith. Family,
yeah.
We thank you. We thank everyone that called in. We thank everyone.
Yeah, Lee, thank you for listening about us, man. I appreciate it.
This is very important, very important. I try to reach out whenever I can. You know how I do, family. I stay in touch because you never know when my butt going to call.
It's true.
You know what I'm saying? But it's all love. Gentlemen, I appreciate your time. Cuzzo, I appreciate your time. Family, we will see you all again next week, our second show in May. It's going to be post-Mother's Day. So for all you mothers, because we had no sisters on today, happy Mother's Day from us to you. But that page will turn as of tomorrow, and our day is up and coming, so we expect some damn gifts. Peace!
Amen.